we need quorum, and please, honourable members, should not leave the house until we finish the report and the minutes. Honourable
Thanks, Honourable Chair. May I humbly announce that I have got another commitment at 12:30. So I'll plead that if it could be done by then, for the sake of cooperation, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Also, Dr. Angeli, 100 years, and 15 and so on, government, the
Honourable members, you have the report with you. All the pages are there. Okay, Honourable.
Chairperson, all the second pages of these documents are gone.
Okay.
Your
emails have got the full report. Electronic one has got the. Page 2. Oh, you don't have it with you, but we are arranging for you to get those pages as we start. But I'm just saying, in your emails you have the photocopy. It was just the printer, the person was printing. So we have page 2, all of, including all the reports.
It's not only page 2, it's every second page it's missing. So it didn't print on the back side of any pages, and then those pages are all gone, so only half of the work is here. Not only one page that is gone, it's all the second pages of every document is not there.
Oh, even numbers. Don't have gone through to print those missing documents. But I've asked question members, but in your email the computer you have got all the pages. Can we utilize them in the meantime as well as we process this report? Honorable members, I'm speaking to you. I'm saying.
No, I'm going to try and find it, Jefferson.
That's a good suggestion. Let us move. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll follow our emails. So we'll start with the report of what?
What day was it sent, Jefferson?
Huh?
What day was it sent?
Which one?
I don't have it on email.
Check the emails for Friday. Thursday and Friday, that's what you will receive this report.
Industrial Revolution, you need electricity, Chairperson.
Yes, I'm saying.
Maybe that's the problem.
The electricity, you don't need electricity to open the screen.
I don't find it in my mailbox.
Yes, I'm saying you don't need electricity to open the screen of the phone. So, I'm doing the honorable was answered for this, so.
Thank you. Yeah. All of it, pardon.
So, do you have that? Do you have copies? I can...
That's one on a high note, Ralogo. That's one on a high note, not good.
Honorable Padan, the notice shows that the email has worked to you, both to the police, both emails, Parliament and the Hotmail.
The Hotmail one is the one I have here, Chappers.
Yes, but both of them...
Maybe it went to the junk mailbox.
So, but nonetheless, we have to do this. I know that technology is not our...
Brilliant.
It was born before, yeah. Therefore, we will have difficulty. There is
born
no problem with that.
Comes late.
So, do you have any... You don't have it in your...
Mailbox.
Can we get somebody to help Honorable Member to get the... Send it again.
Maybe it went to the junk mailbox. I don't know. I didn't find it.
So in the meantime, as you open the, let us acknowledge the apologies that we have received. We have received the apology from Honorable Stain. We have received apology from Honorable Tadokulu. We know that Honorable Tadokulu is attending other committees like Honorable Sultan and Honorable Deputy President of Matasien.
Several president of AIC.
Oh, AIC. And so they are attending other committees, and we appreciate that you took time to come and join us because we need this forum. And this is our last meeting, honorable members. Before we start with the agenda, I must take this opportunity to thank yourself. This committee has been one of the committees that all members attended without fail. In areas where you are not available, we received apologies. We have never struggled to go around and looking for members, and that is appreciated. We became a very strong committee because of your availability to the task as we were given by Parliament. And we want to thank you for that. And one of the duties, as we summarize our work, we close the year, we have to look at the legacy report. And the legacy report, we were given the format, which is too complicated, but we try to make it work better. But we'll take you through the report, because we don't have report, physical report, we have electronic one. So we'll take you slowly. I'm going to ask the content advisor to take us through. And the honorable members will just indicate and say stop there. And I want to check, because most of the issues that is relating the story, where we come from, how we interacted with the department, which laws inform the interaction, and then what were the challenges, and then what is the progress, and then goes to the what the issues that we think the six parliaments should consider as they open parliament in next year. So that is the structure of the report. So, for us to be able to do the work and to have God serve, as Honorable Sultan has indicated, we have to, we will not read in page by page. We'll get a summary and then goes to where we'll focus most is the recommendation that must go into the to the sixth parliament. Do you agree with this? Because
Thanks, Chair. Just in response to your opening remarks about where you expressed your appreciation of how we went about the business of the term of the fifth parliament, I hope that members would agree with me that what we found encouraging was your firm stand when it came to critiquing the department where it was obvious that you know, they needed to be critiqued. You did not mince your words. You always came straight, hard, and direct on them to say, this is wrong, it's not on. And even your body language confirmed that you're not just playing ball with them, you were strongly expressing yourself, you know, and because had you not taken that position, the committee's work and therefore the parliamentary oversight role would not have been as effective as one would hope it has been. And I think I'm expressing the views of the members when I say we really appreciate your appreciated your leadership when it came to that. Thanks, Chair.
So,
I'm
going to but there are certain things that I expect to get, but we'll explain those issues as we have through them, because we have never received it, but we are not to be correct that we will prevent them. So I'm going to allow the
good morning, members. I also don't have a hard copy, so I'm working through my laptop as well. So I'll be a little bit slower in scrolling. As the chair has already explained, the first three sections of the report is basically the statistics and also how the committee carried out its activities through meetings and oversight visits and other briefings. That's just for information purposes, including the number of meetings held and the table on page 7 has a summary of the committee work and all the activities that are reported on the report. In terms of meeting, legislation process, oversight trips, and international arguments that have been processed by the committee. Section 4 is the focus areas and the briefings. As the members will see from the number of meetings, the committee dealt with a number of issues, some of them mandatory. So Section 4 is just a summary of the key highlights of those activities that the committee focused on the most throughout its briefing. The first one being the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework. And although it's work in progress in terms of the department achieving the target, but briefings and reporting on the MTSF has been one of the key achievements of the committee, because the department used not to report on the MTSF targets before. So the committee, through it, during its strategic planning, decided that on every quarterly briefing that it has with the department, then it has to report on the MTSF, and the MTSF for the sector specifically focused on outcome 4, which is job creation, and outcome 7, which is rural development and security, and outcome 10, which is focuses on environmental and natural resource management. So in this regard, there's just a summary of what the department has achieved in terms of the NTSF and what it could not. And one of the key areas that the department did not achieve what was expected by the NTSF is in terms of policy and legislative development and implementation. And the specific legislation was the Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Framework Bill. So the department has been working on that bill for the entire term and hasn't yet finalized it. And the committee has emphasized the importance of the bill in terms of protection of agricultural resources, which are currently lost to mining and urban development. In terms of the policies, the NTSF expected the department to develop policies for smallholder producer development, and the specific policy that the department developed was the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support, which also stemmed from issues that have been raised by the committee in terms of fragmented support, be it technical, financial, and advisory. The policy, the department did submit a draft policy to the committee, but it hasn't been finalized. It's still going through the cabinet process, this policy. So these are highlighted as issues that should be, that the sixth parliament should take note of. Another key issue that the committee focused on was food security through the FETSA Tlala Food Production Initiative, where the committee held a number of briefings, even calling provinces to parliament to report on their state of readiness in terms of planting season. The focus of FETSA Tlala being to put into production 1 million hectares of fallow land, particularly in the former homeland. And this was also an MTSF target that they needed to achieve by March 2019. The department has actually done a lot in this regard. However, in terms of food security, the Statistics South Africa, which the committee also held briefings with, did highlight that the decrease in the number of food insecure households was quite marginal. There's still a large number of households that are food insecure. And through the briefings, the committee also had briefings with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which is located in the presidency, regarding the implementation of the food security, food and nutrition security policy. So in this regard, the DPME also highlighted through its evaluation of departmental support programs that the department's interventions in terms of ensuring that the number of food insecure households are decreased hasn't been that effective, also because of fragmentation. Hence, there has been some government interventions which will be reported on below. Members, please note this is just like a summary and a reminder, highlight of what the committee has done and how far the committee is, and some of the issues will be raised for follow-up by the sixth parliament. In terms of food safety, members will recall there has been a number of outbreaks. One of those being listeriosis, the avian influenza that affected the poultry industry. And also this was a follow-up from food safety discussions were also stemming from the workshop that was held by the previous parliament, and the committee followed on that, where the interdepartmental task team was established to form a food control agency for the country so that a department can work in a comprehensive and integrated manner in addressing food safety issues. And the committee also raised the support, for example, the location of environmental health practitioners, which are in municipalities, while the COCTA was not involved in some of the task team. So those were the some of the issues that were raised by the committee to ensure that food safety is addressed by government in a holistic manner. The department recently, last week, reported on the progress. The task team was here, both task team, the one dealing with the food and nutrition security policy implementation, and the one that deals with food safety, which is called the Interdepartmental Food Safety Coordinating Committee, to report on progress that has been made. Although the food control agency hasn't been established yet, but the interdepartmental task team did report on the activities that they have done. There has been some progress in trying to address challenges that we had before as a country, including strengthening inspection services at the port of entry, which are done by agriculture and health. The third issue was financial and technical producer support. As members know that the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program, CAS, and ILIMA LITIMA are the key conditional grants that are used to support producers in provinces. The grants are held by DAF, but it disperses them to provinces for implementation. And also the Macro Agricultural Financial Institution of South Africa, MAFISA, which provides loans of up to 100,000 to developing farmers. And this was done through intermediaries in provinces. The DPME has done evaluations of all these programs, support programs, and then realized that they achieved very little because of the fragmentation that has already been spoken of, and also taking note that the Rural Development, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform also had a support program called the Recapitalization and Development Program, RECAP, that was established to assist land reform beneficiaries. But committee oversight visits, or during committee oversight visits, the committee realized that little impact did all these different programs have, since the need for ensuring that they are all a one-stop shop, as the previous committee called it, to have all the support programs in under one roof, if you call it like that, which is something that is in process and will also be referred to below. The committee also emphasized in its briefings with the department on conditional grants in particular, and also the support that is given to producers. They emphasized the monitoring and evaluation of all the funding instruments, which is something that has been found lacking in terms of the department, and this was also highlighted by the Auditor General. As the department relied on reports from provinces, and during oversight visits, the committee realized that most of the reports do not reflect the situation on the ground. So in this regard, the committee overemphasized the importance of monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of projects through the conditional grant by the National Department, which disperses the funds. another issue that was raised through the committee's interactions with stakeholders and farmers was the visibility, and also through oversight visits, the visibility of extension officers. And in this regard, the department established an extension recovery plan, which was funded through CASP, to improve the provision of extension services. But the more, if members will recall, one of the issues that has been raised was also the number of extension officers. There's still a shortage. There are fewer extension officers to do all the necessary work in provinces. And provinces have been lacking. If members recall, the department also reported on the provinces that have been recruiting extension officers every year, and in this regard, provinces have been lacking behind. The national policy on extension and advisory services was also finalized during the term, and the department is in the process of implementing it. But in terms of technical support, one of the issues that members raised also was the use of implementing agents or strategic partners in terms of land reform projects. And the committee unfortunately didn't have a lot of briefings on the issue specifically, but this the issue has been raised during oversight visits, because the committee finds that the implementing, if there are any benefits realized in some of the successful projects, those benefits are to the implementing agents or strategic partners rather than the beneficiaries or the farmers. To address the weaknesses and fragmentation of producer support, the committee suggested the development of an integrated development finance policy or instrument. And the department initially reported that it was in the process of developing the policy, but later, during the development of the National Policy of Comprehensive Producer Development Support, then reported to the committee that the integrated development finance policy won't be a standalone policy, so they have decided to include it as a component into the policy of producer development support, which has not been finalized yet. As of towards the end of last year, members will recall that they had in November a briefing from the department staff and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as the Land Bank, the blended finance model, which was proposed as an instrument to address fragmentation of financial support. Discussions on the model are ongoing. As members will recall, they had a workshop as well 2 weeks ago, which is part of the financial support component. Further engagements in this regard are proposed for the 6th Parliament in terms of the blended finance model and also the National Policy of Comprehensive Producer Development Support. The committee also has briefings on the commercialization of 450 black farmers. This was pronounced in 2017 during the SONA by former President Zuma. However, during briefings and engagements with the committee on the subject, the department, during the SONA pronouncements, the committee was made to believe that the 450 farmers were going to be commercialized within that financial year, to which the department later came to the committee and admitted that they have realized that it would be impossible to commercialize 450 farmers in, and the plan was 50 per province in 1 year. So the 450 farmers now will be commercialized over a 5 year period. And that's supposed to be implemented during the 2018-19 financial year. And since that hasn't happened, the financial year has ended. So the implementation will take place during the from the 2019-20. Over a 5 year period. Here, there's just a reminder that although the pronouncement was the commercialization of 450 farmers, the department has since amended the technology to 450 producers, not necessarily farmers. Noting that farmers are just a category of producers, that this means if they talk about producers, that means they may include producers from the fisheries and also the forestry sector in the commercialization program. And the two departments, Agriculture and Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as Land Bank, has also proposed a blended funding model as a funding instrument for the commercialization program. And the committee, if members recall that attended the workshop, also raised some pertinent issues on the blended funding model and how it has been linked to the commercialization of farmers or producers. And I think some of the key issues was that the model seems to focus more on funding, and it was not clear how technical advice or technical support will be provided to producers. And some of the issues that were raised by the members was the forum that mainly consisted of the forum that will decide on the funding mainly consisted of departmental officials in the like the forum of DDC. So members were concerned that they will play a referee and player in the selection of participants in the program. And also the members, in terms of the model, also raised a concern regarding accountability of the land bank, because the land bank will be administering the blended funding model. So, and also the bureaucracy, because there has been, members will recall that farmers have been complaining about the process to get financial assistance from the land bank. So in this regard, members felt that the land bank as an administrator of the model will impose the same bureaucratic processes to this blended funding model, which is supposed to spearhead the commercialization of producers. So that, those are some of the issues that were raised by members on the model and commercialization of farmers, which the Sixth Parliament needs to take forward. One issue that has always been raised by members during briefing was mechanization and the lack of an overarching policy, because during oversight visits, members realized that all provinces are doing different things in terms of providing mechanization to farmers. And members have been pushing the department to develop a policy or a framework for mechanization that can be implementable by all provinces. The department has since developed a framework in 2016, and the framework hasn't really been implemented as a standalone. Again, the department reported that that framework is in will be included in the national police. So for now, provinces are still doing their own things in terms of mechanization. But the department has reported that that framework will be included in the comprehensive producer development support, just like the integrated funding. Also in terms of mechanization, members will know that there are various irrigation schemes, some of them located in the former homeland, but they needed, because they haven't been used for quite some time, they needed some rehabilitation. So the National Development Plan also made, as it recognized agriculture, for job creation, it also mentioned specifically two irrigation schemes that needed to be developed and rehabilitated. Those are the Makatini Flats in KwaZulu-Natal, and also in the Eastern Cape, the development of an irrigation scheme in the Indwebu River Basin. A lot of work has been done in Makatini. If members recall, the committee did an oversight visit to KZN, and they also visited Makatini Flats irrigation scheme. However, nothing has been done at Umzimvubu River Basin, but there has been discussion about that area for the development of irrigation schemes there, as the Eastern Cape has been identified by the grain industry as one of the areas that can play a large role in the production of grain. The department during this term has, in terms of irrigation rehabilitation, they have reported mostly on the Falhars irrigation scheme, which is based in the Northern Cape. Unfortunately, the committee was unable to visit the Northern Cape, but they plan to due to some financial constraints in Parliament. So, but the committee has requested a report on that Falhars irrigation scheme, but the report is outstanding. The committee also had a number of briefings on Operation Pagisa. Initially, by the beginning of the term, it was the Ocean Economy Pagisa, which was launched in 2014. To explore and exploit economic potential in the ocean. So the department was among the departments that formed that Ocean Pagisa, focusing on the development of aquaculture. The committee has, the department has since reported approximately, I think, 32, the last time they reported. They have developed 32 aquaculture projects. They have implemented them as part of the Ocean Economy Operation Pagisa, which is still ongoing. In 2016, through the presidency, DPME reported the development of another Operation Pagisa for agriculture and rural development and land reform to address fragmentation of support, as has been highlighted and also identified by DBME through its evaluations of the department support program. The committee also held a number of briefings on this while the PAGISA was still in process and under development. I think one of the issues that was raised is the development of the PAGISA was the lack of funding, because at the time there was no specific allocation from National Treasury for Pagisa, and that was an issue that was raised by the department and DPME as well. So departments were expected to use some of their conditional grant funding to implement Operation Pagisa for agriculture. Job creation, previously mentioned is also one of the MTSF targets, and the National Development Plan highlighted agriculture as a job driver through agro-processing, and the committee during quarterly briefing as part of the MTSF reporting also held the department accountable in this regard. However, in terms of smallholder producer development support, job creation has been very minimal. And the GPME and SESA, when they reported on job creation, particularly that has been created through the conditional grant intervention, most of the jobs were temporary or seasonal. However, the department plays a key role through the expanded public works program in terms of job creation through the Lenke and also the Working for Fisheries program. So they have done some commendable work in terms of job creation through the EPWP. However, it should be noted that due to some of the challenges, including the drought that hit the country in 2015, in the first quarter of last year, 2018, the agricultural sector did shed a number of jobs and also contributed to the first technical recession in almost 10 years. But as some provinces received rain in the past season, it is hoped that the situation will improve. One of the key areas that the committee also held briefings on was climate change and disaster management. And team members will recall the department, they held briefing on this, and one of the achievements was the development of the climate change mitigation and adaptation plan for agriculture and forestry that has since been developed by the department. In terms of disaster management, which are mostly linked to climatic changes, is the drought as well, that has already been mentioned, and in some areas flooding and failed fires. And this has an impact on agriculture and also will have an impact on the, they also did through the failed fires in the forestry sector and also in fisheries, the higher temperatures that are expected in some parts of the country will also affect the number of species and all the kind of species that are found in the ocean. One of the issues in terms of disaster management, the committee raised was the slow pace at which drought relief in particular is provided to farmers. And the committee highlighted that the department is generally proactive but reactive. They wait until the disaster happens and then they act. And farmers have also complained that drought relief has arrived very late for some of them, when it's too late for them to recover or even start planting if it's crop farmers. And in some cases, it won't even get to farmers. Disease outbreaks was one of the issues that the committee is still, until now, dealing with through briefings with the department and getting updates. Also in the past week, the committee did get an update on the FMD, especially given the recent, the foot and mouth disease, the recent outbreak in Mpopo. And also the listeriosis, and as well as the citrus blight, most of the updates are continuous because some of the outbreaks are seasonal. So the department did a report on this, including the task team members will recall how the avian the highly pathogenic avian influenza affected the poultry industry, also resulting in the closure of some of the poultry factories or companies. So the committee in the past week also received a briefing on this, on progress that has been made, and the task team that has been developed, which also includes the industry as represented by SAPA, the South African Poultry Association, as well as labor, which is represented by the Food and Allied Workers Union. And that was seen as a positive step, because previously the industry and labor have complained that the department were working in silos and were also not consulting them on issues that affect them. With regard to the FMD, the recent FMD outbreak, which has been contained in Limpopo, I think China has put a ban on imports of cruelty hoofed animals and their products from South Africa due to the FMD risk, but the department reported that they plan to send a delegation to China to address the matter. In terms of fisheries, the committee dealt with the management of fisheries research and surveillance vessels. When the committee started this term, there was a challenge with the management and the contract that the department had with certain companies for the management of the vessels and their maintenance. That issue was resolved since 2014, when the department commissioned the services of the South African Maritime Safety Association, SAMSA, which is still responsible for the maintenance and management of those vessels. And at that time, there was also a challenge that was highlighted regarding the Africana, which is one of the research vessels, and but it has since been repaired and is carrying out its operations or research activity. Fishing rights allocation process. This stems from committee engagement through correspondence and also some briefings in terms from the small scale and artisanal fishers, which highlighted that they were not benefiting from the fishing rights allocation process prop, as it tends to favor commercial fisheries. And the committee will recall that a small-scale fisheries policy was developed to address this challenge, among other challenges, to ensure that small-scale fishers are also part of the fisheries value chain. The implementation, I think the committee lamented the slow pace at which the department implemented the small-scale fisheries policy, given that the policy was approved in the last term, in June 2012. And the department has since last year started implementing the policy specifically in the Northern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, in Eastern Cape, and there were some challenges which they are addressing in terms of appeals in the Western Cape. There was also, through the report that the committee, the investigation report that the committee were briefed on last week, there were also challenges with FRAP 2015-16, and the department reported that all the appeals have since been resolved and finalized, but there are challenges for FRAP 2020. which is lagging behind, and they have also indicated that it might not be implemented on time. However, in this regard, they have indicated that the minister has extended the licenses of those companies that will be affected. The department also reported that small-scale fishers will be included in FRAP 2020 through the hake, lionfish, mussels, oysters, and squid. Implementation of the small-scale fisheries policy, I've already alluded to where the process is thus far. And it's something that the Parliament will need to follow up and get progress and feedback on. In terms of sector transformation, the committee has briefings with the department and also with the Transformation Sector Charter Council. And also, the committee didn't have as many briefings on the implementation of the Agri-BEE fund, which is administered by Land Bank, not World Bank. And the committee, through its oversight activities, they also had a briefing on the Agri-BEE fund from the Land Bank last year, and also registered their dissatisfaction with the limited transformation programs in terms of agriculture. Fisheries, the slow pace of transformation has also been alluded to by the small-scale fishers, and this is an issue through which it is hoped that it will be addressed through the implementation of the small-scale fisheries policy. Forestry, after oversight activities and attended public hearings on the National Forest Amendment Bill, the committee interacted with communities in forested areas, and they also highlighted a lack of transformation in the sector and a lack of benefits for small forestry growers. And committee has held briefings in this regard with the department and the industry in particular, as well as with the Forestry Sector Charter Council. The council also highlighted the slow pace of transformation in the sector, and the council also proposed the new ways in which they are working with the industry in terms of having quarterly briefings with them to address transformation challenges. I'm not sure if members want me to also go to the challenges, because as the template we are given, after each section you just highlight the challenges, most of which I've already alluded to. And in terms of operational challenges, I think one issue that is in most cases is the late submission of briefing documents and presentation by the department. The committee did agree that documents should be submitted at least a week before a briefing, but the department still submits documents a day before the meeting or during the meeting. So that's one of the challenges that this parliament should look or find a way of dealing with it. And also changing of presentation. Sometimes the department will send presentation a week before, say on a Friday, but on the day of the meeting they will come with a new presentation. And that disadvantages members who have to go through the presentations beforehand. In terms of content, the committee, I think, has also always complained about the insufficient information that will be contained in documents or even reports. And committee even said that the department submits documents just so they can meet the deadline or comply, but it won't be the information contained was what the committee has requested. Members, I won't go through legislation that has been referred. It's just for information purposes for the Parliament, and all the, since the beginning of this term, the pieces of legislation that the committee has processed and finalized. So I'll pass that. And also a list of oversight trips that the committee undertook. The committee went to all the provinces except Northern Cape, and also visited Land Bank and OPP, I think, and the ARC. And the members have those reports. Most of them have been adopted already and even debated in the House. So this is also just for information purposes for the Parliament. During this term, the committee processed only three international agreements, and all of them were from fisheries, the tuna agreement. And then legislation, that the obligations that are conferred to the committee by legislation, members will note that it's mostly in legislation that established entities, and also the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which informs how members process the budgetary review and recommendation process. Members will note that we have also included the Land and Agricultural Development Bank Act because it deals with the agricultural sector, and according to legislation, although it has since been under the administration of the finance minister, but it still does report to this committee, and also in terms of all these pieces of legislation, when it appoints members of the board, it also consults this committee as required by the Act. The statutory appointments is also for information processes, and these are done through the legislation. My laptop is not behaving. And other matters, I think the chair has something to note here. These are the reports that have been referred to a number of committees, including this committee, by the speaker.
the first report that we received from South African Human Rights Commission on the investigation hearing into the Western security challenges in farming communities. We remember that we said we needed a joint meeting with police, and we had that meeting in the
Good hope.
It was myself, unfortunately, and Honorable Hussein, and I can't remember from because where is the Honorable Madel. Most of members, because of of them sitting in committees on Wednesday, and that meeting was Wednesday. It was me and Honorable the police committee and from agriculture, it was myself and Honorable State, and we had that meeting with the commissioner and the minister was there, and the, I think the our officials were not there, but, which is something that we have to get the resolution of that meeting. And then the second one on the public protector, this one report has never reached us. So that's why I said they must remove it. If it has come, it has not reached me as a chair. I want to put it clear because we have interacted with the three of the dairy issues members, remember, based on the court case, what, you know, on Mudu Monje outside, and we called the department to say, come and brief us, what is this thing? But we've never received this report. So I think it has been sent somewhere, not to ourselves. So that's why I said it should not be part of our report, because we'll be lying if we're saying it's outstanding, we've never received it. I don't even know what it is. And then I think the panel, the high panel report, members will remember that we've just indicated that there is a report from a member of the high panel which we requested to look into the report, but the chair of the committee probably was supposed to have inducted members how we handle it. And that's why we say it was not dealt with it to remain outstanding. And the sixth parliament should be able to look at issues that affect us as department. So those are the issues that I thought we should clarify first, before we go to the outstanding issues and recommendations.
Thank you, Chair. We are on page 56. This is the summary of our outstanding issues of committee interactions with the department and or the entities. The issues for follow-up for the sixth parliament, members should note that this list is probably not is not conclusive, but these are just some of the key issues that came out through committee briefings, and I think through more interactions and briefings from support officials, the sixth parliament will also pull out more issues for follow-up. And the first one being the latest that the committee has dealt with is the blended funding model and the commercialization of black producers. As the committee in the last interaction with the department has raised, both committees have raised issues on this matter, we felt that the sixth parliament should also follow up on this, get briefings and be clear also in the implementation, especially since it's planned for the 2019-20 to discuss the model. Also, the other issue is the inclusion of, for example, trade and industry. The reason being that the IDC, the Industrial Development Corporation, is the entity of the Department of Trade and Industry, and it is doing a lot of funding of agricultural projects. And also, the DTI itself is also funding some aquaculture projects and is also involved in agro processing activities and commercialization, and the job creation mandate of the department focuses on agro processing. So if there are funds elsewhere that are addressing agro-processing, then those funds should form part of the blending. The high-level panel report, as the chair has already indicated, the committee in this regard, because when we went through the report, there are lots of overlapping activities that have been mentioned, specifically on land reform in terms of support. And if the focus is on agriculture, then that means land reform beneficiaries have to be supported. Then the two departments have to work jointly, and also how probably the department or government will fit in this blending funding in addressing some of the issues that have been flagged at the high-level panel report, including legislation that needs to be developed and that is in the process by both departments. Operation Pagisa, particularly the one for agriculture, land reform and rural development. In this regard, the sixth parliament will need to continue and have joint briefings with the Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform on the progress in terms of implementation of PAGISA activities. The food and nutrition implementation of the food and the food and nutrition security policy implementation plan, it is in progress. The task team reported commendable progress last week, and the parliament can just continue having joint activities with other committees whose departments are also part of the task team. In terms of food safety and the establishment of the food control agency, it's also a continuation of what this parliament has been doing, taking into account of the progress that has been reported last week. Farmer register and agricultural census, the committee will recall they have also been emphasizing the importance of the farmer register so that the department can know where the farmers are and how many and at what level, particularly if now they're talking of commercialization. This, the last report was that, that it has been incorporated, so Statistics South Africa has been commissioned by the department to do an agricultural census that will be inclusive of small-scale or smallholder farmers. Previous census is only focused on commercial agriculture because that was the data that was readily available. And when Statistics South Africa briefed the committee, they said it won't be easy to have a census that includes smallholder farmers without the farmer register. So it was decided that it must also develop that farmer register to ensure that the census is inclusive of the different categories of farmers. Sector transformation is an ongoing and regular update will be required in this regard, and also the review and evaluation of the role that has been played by the Agri-BE Fund in particular in terms of transformation in the agricultural sector. One of the issues that has been raised by the committee was the protracted disciplinary, the process that the department takes to finalize or implement disciplinary processes against officials that have been found of wrongdoing through reports or even internal audits. And one of these outstanding disciplinary hearings is that of the salary increase of the former NYCHA CEO that was found to be irregular. That disciplinary process hasn't been finalized yet. The department has reported
yes,
a lack of funding as a So the sixth parliament should follow up on this process.
So I think the mayor should have said that those allegations of corruption that we have in the last meeting, that is the outstanding issue on number 8, to include those I was saying number 8, we should have had the issue that arises in the last meeting in Fisher, the allegation of corruption and the next committee should be then able to follow up on them, and the department of organogram to Department of Organogram, you remember when
it's been
withdrawn and then
And is oversight visits, and since the committee, this parliament was unable to go to Northern Cape due to time and budgetary constraints, we felt that the sixth parliament should consider undertaking an oversight visit as maybe prioritize Northern Cape. And also noting that that's where the Fallard irrigation scheme is, and also where the small scale fisheries policy is being implemented. Those are the key issues for follow up for the sixth parliament. The outstanding issues from the department and its entities. Also, these ones are just the key issues, it's not everything. Officials of the committee have a report on other outstanding issues.
I think it would just be better if you summarize it so that you don't exclude those issues that are in the recommendations of the report, minutes. Just to say the parliament must look at the recommendations of the report, including the PRRR and all those, because there are those that have not been attended at all.
They have been included, Chair, under policy and other matters. All the outstanding issues. It's just that these ones are the key issues, as they also form part of the MTSF, like the PDAF, and including the first one is implementation and compliance to enacted legislation. For example, the formal tabling of responses to committee reports that are reserved. Referred to the executive authority by the Speaker of the National Assembly. If the committee recalls, for all the appointments to Board of Entities, the pieces of legislation that establish those entities requires the executive authority, after each appointment, which the committee makes suggestions to, the executive authority within 30 days of appointing board members is supposed to report to Parliament all the committees, the NCOP, the MA, that are overseeing the department, and that has not happened. The Speaker, after each report of the committee that is in, adopted in the House, be the BRI or oversight report or other, send correspondence to the executive authority to respond to the recommendations of the House. That doesn't happen. The committee has to request for such responses on its own. So I felt that that's the issue that the sixth parliament should address immediately. The other issues I've already referred to, like the PDAF, which is very, very important. It's fast-tracking, given the loss of agricultural land, and also the review of old legislation. Members will recall that during this parliament, they've been doing some amendments of very old legislation, like Act 36 of 1947 and Act 24 of 1935 and Act Number 71 of 1962, which deals with animal protection. And there has been a promise of development of new legislation to replace those old pieces of legislation. For example, the Animal Welfare Bill, when the committee was processing the animal performing animal protection amendment bill, the department promised the development of an animal welfare bill to replace the old legislation and deal with all the animal matters comprehensively. During the establishment of PAGISA for Oceans Economy, there was a suggestion for the development of an oceans bill that was proposed. Maybe the sixth parliament should also follow up on that, given that ocean legislation is spreading between DAF and the Department of Environmental Affairs. In terms of policy and other matters, the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support has already been alluded to, including its monitoring framework to ensure that implementation does take place. The organogram, as the chair has already alluded to, that has been withdrawn. So the sixth parliament should follow up on that one. Some issues have already been alluded to. Chair, you mentioned the reports on investigations and disciplinary actions against fisheries officials that have been implicated in fraudulent activities. And also the sixth parliament, we feel that should also have an update on the implementation of the tuna agreement, given the promises that were made when Parliament was requested to accede to those international agreements. Responses to the previous DRRR report and also briefing on the spatial analysis of agriculture, forestry and fisheries. This has been included because this was initiated in 2012 and the updated one hasn't been. I think during the beginning of this parliament, it was presented to the committee, but members will recall that through the briefings on climate change, it has been highlighted that the spatial but the spatial location, for lack of a better word, of agricultural resources is changing. So I think the CSIR, between the CSIR and the ARC, they have been doing an update on the spatial analysis, also to assist with the implementation of new projects, particularly the development of smallholder, commercialization, agro-processing, because with climate change, certain activities that use, for example, grain production in Mpumalanga Northwest used to be like the grain producing hives of the country, but with climate change, things might change as some areas are more prone to flooding and some areas are getting drier. So there might be changes or movement of certain species to different areas. So I think the presentation of the updated spatial analysis of agricultural resources so that the plans that are made, even for land reform, are linked to the availability or the potential of each area. the department in the last parliament did mention a plan to develop a strategy on urban and peri-urban agriculture. This wasn't presented to the committee, so we felt that the sixth parliament should follow up on this issue, given that poverty and food insecurity, even last week, the task team also mentioned that food insecurity was now being prevalent even in metropolitan municipalities, and most of these municipalities have commonage land. So urban or peri-urban agriculture is something that should be pursued to address food insecurity instead of only focusing in rural areas. And also due to rural to urban migration, people are moving to urban areas, thus poverty and food insecurity also migrating with them. Chair already mentioned outstanding recommendations on oversight lists that have been undertaken, and also the CADEP. I think the committee also had a presentation from the NEPAD Secretariat regarding CADEP, which is a NEPAD and AU mandate. The country hasn't yet signed the compact. And countries that have signed the compact, the NEPAD also reported that they have seen improvement, especially in terms of investment into agriculture. So this is one of the issues that the committee has been following up through the MTSF briefing, and that the sixth parliament should also pursue. The monitoring and evaluation framework for conditional grants has been repeatedly highlighted, and this parliament should also continue, depending how the comprehensive producer pan out to be when it's finalized in terms of the utilization of conditional grants. In terms of audit improvement plans, the department does present their reporter. But the committee has also put more emphasis on the ARC and the MLRF, because both entities received qualified audit opinions on their financial statements. In their last presentations to the committee, they have highlighted that some of the plans in their audit metrics might not be implemented by the end of this financial year, so the sixth parliament should follow up on them.
Recommendation? Yes. Before we go to the recommendation, I think it would be proper that we even where you said you covered it, it's not the issue of alleged corruption in officials. It should stand there so that it must be there. It must be written in black and white. It must be visible.
Yes, Chairperson, can we not recommend that if the give it a certain time frame, and then if those issues are not resolved within fisheries, we have a commission of inquiries? Or they should consider something like that to help to assist in that matter.
No, we still can't, but the committee, after listening to the department, that time they can then take that. This is a legal report. Just to inform you what we have done, and you can just raise if there is this issue that is still existing. They will come out of the thing. Thanks. Another problem.
Chair, I think let me make it clear that I'm supporting what you are saying, because I was getting worried, because I was feeling that this issue, not in Dolofi yet, just about we touch. Now when you read it, I was afraid that it might disappear somewhere, but that's why I'm agreeing with you that it must surface clearly.
So let's can we go to the recommendation?
The main issue on the first recommendation is the committee is overseeing three sectors. One department, but three complex and technical sectors. And agriculture alone is quite big. So I think one of the challenges that the committee experiences was sufficient time to address all the complex issues that they have to deal with in those. As a result, and I think because of the nature of agriculture, committees spend most of the time on agricultural issues and then to some extent on fisheries, but very little on forestry, because most forestry issues came when the committee was processing the legislation. And I think in addition to time, also the budget to carry out the its planned oversight activities, committee aspire to do more oversight trips, but due to time constraints and budgetary constraints, it couldn't carry out most or some of its planned oversight visits. And also in terms of technical support, members will recall the committee didn't have a technical specialist on forestry, which might have contributed to forestry being left behind in oversight activity. Not that the time permitted anyway.
Maybe before we touch that, I think there was a challenge that we must raise for Parliament to forestry. The outdated, the referral of outdated documents. For instance, when we're supposed to nominate the the representatives for FIFO, for the board, we find that they bring that letter outdated when the deadline is passed. So I think we should raise it so that it should not continue to be an impediment for committee members. So we should act on top of these things that affect the committee.
It is under the challenges regarding those, but we can add to the recommendation to flag it. Okay.
Because that part is raising the it doesn't talk about the speaker of talks about the tabling as a procedural problem, but doesn't talk about the outdated document that you sent out.
The second issue, Chair, is that affected the effectiveness of the committee's instability at the senior management service level at the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Members will recall that since the beginning of the term in 2014, the department never had a permanent accounting officer for more than 18 months. There has been lots of acting in the form of DDGs. Of course, the period of acting is limited, and then another DG. And the danger with a DDG will be acting, and the danger with acting is that it's difficult for some of them to make crucial decisions regarding activities that have been proposed or issues that have been raised by the committee in terms of oversight. And also vacancies at the SMS level were also an issue, particularly at DDG level, and I think even as we speak now, there's a vacancy at the DDG level, and also other SMS level like chief directors and directors, which also impacted decision-making and carrying out of activities. The department also, in addition to the vacancies, the instability was also caused by suspensions of senior officials, including the accounting officer in 2016, who was on suspension for almost a year and came back in March or April 2018. Came in April 2018. So, which means for the entire term, the committee there has never been an accounting officer that the committee can work with for more than 18 months at the most. I think the previous one was 18 months. So, the sixth parliament should really address this. I think when it has briefings on the organizational structure of the department, it should also address this issue of instability at SMS level, including the filling of vacancies. Can I proceed?
There is information that the president is coming, so the police, you have the police and soldiers making a lot of noise. You must not get surprised. So
you come in, yeah.
Yeah. Between 12 and 1, the president will be downstairs. So we shouldn't get surprised. I hope we'll be finished at that time.
Okay, the third issue, Chair, is the delays in the adoption of committee minutes and report. This indirectly impacted the timeliness of responses from the department, because in some cases, by the time the reports get adopted and we expect responses from the department, the committee gets overtaken by events. So in this regard, it is proposed that the sixth parliament should try and start each meeting with the adoption of the previous meeting to ensure that resolutions of the committee are followed through timeously.
Though I agree with
the
part, but the other part is not that. For me, even the process that a report should go to the House for it to become implemented, and which look at the agenda that you have in the House, some of the reports. So I think for me it should be, we should look at the holistic, the committee must be given opportunity to adopt the report and make it effective. Implementable immediately without going waiting to be a resolution of the House, because when it's a resolution of the House, again, you don't even have a tracking system, which from the speaker of all the resolutions that are taken in the House, whether they're being implemented. So for me, it's even offloading the work, that some of the work that should go to the House. That's my own view, because this process of taking reports to the House you adopt the report today, it will take another six weeks to be tabled at the House, and then maybe at some point doesn't even go through. So, and in some, at some point other report lapsed in the process as you adjourn and all those things. So I think the system, probably is one of the rules that we could recommend that should be reviewed. When immediately the report, the committee adopts the report, it should then be made implementable immediately.
I'll consider that when I become Speaker of the National Assembly.
Oh, thank you. So I'm just saying, I think that's one of the things that we have to look at. Because, so I think that's the issue. We'll appreciate if you can be the Speaker.
Yes,
if you
yes.
say I was part of that meeting.
Sure.
So I was saying that it should not be limited to the minutes, and because the minutes, even in when we meet with the department, we follow up on those issues. Even if, but unfortunately, the timing, which I agree that for it to be logical, it would be good if you adopt the minutes. But again, we still have a problem that the report becomes the report of the House after it went to the House.
Sir, whilst I have got a number of other issues that I would want to address the committee on, based on this report, just a quick response to what you are suggesting. I would say when it comes to operational issues, I would agree with you, because in reality that's our staff as a committee. But other issues like legislation and so on, naturally, they've got to be endorsed on policy issues and so on, staffing. But when it comes to day-to-day operations of an approved APP, for that matter, then indeed it's just a big fuss to have to take it through to Parliament, to the National Assembly. So based on that, I'll support your recommendation, sir.
Thank you, Chair. The last one on operational issues is a proposal for the committee to address some of the issues that have been raised regarding how the department interacts with the committee. The development of a standard operating procedure on how the committee engages with the department and its entities, which should or can include inter alia the period for submission of presentations and other requested documents. The size of the delegation to Parliament, which has been referred to by National Treasurer previously, and who is expected to account to Parliament, and what should be entailed in documents or bills that are introduced to Parliament for referral to the committee, and consequence management on the department's failure to adhere to the standard operating procedure.
This recommendation is too operational, and for me it's an operational of the Parliament staff and the management and the Speaker. How do you receive things that are not, does not have content and you don't accept them? So I'm just saying, if we, it doesn't help us to have such a resolution, because it's more technical to the Parliament staff and the Speaker's office, how the things coming outside from Parliament enter the Parliament. It should be looked at that perspective, and I think it will need the speaker and the management here, yeah, to look at how that process is handled, because it's operational. Because even the format, by the way, you remember we had to say department, we want you to report on this and that and this. There is no clear format of parliament that government are given that commit when you report your progress. This is a format that you must hold. There is no format.
It's the same as the rules of parliament. Every parliament has to adopt their own rules, so we can't dictate to them what they must do. They will have to do it themselves. So I take it that we have learned some lessons and we can give them some advice, but to lay down rules that they should do is like, yeah, it doesn't work.
I'm saying it's too operational. It's about how parliament, staff and speaker, they should.
Yeah.
They should manage things that are coming inside parliament. So that's why I'm saying the resolution is not necessary.
Mm.
That's, I'm agreeing with you. You cannot take that resolution because it doesn't matter whether you have it or not.
Okay, then we adopt it.
I don't know whether it's appropriate now for one to make a contribution towards the report, Chair. I don't have that specific call. I don't want to be ahead of my turn.
Okay, well, the very first thing is that finish the recommendations and then we'll then adopt them and add, before we adopt, to add. And
Clock and short.
No,
let's finish the recommendation. Okay. 12.5. To address fragmentation and lack of intergovernmental relations between departments and entities. The sixth parliament should promote intergovernmental relations by having joint planning sessions and briefing meetings with other relevant committees on matters that are cross-cutting. For example, the blended finance model has already alluded to land reform and bulk settlement support, transformation, agro-processing, aquaculture development, etc. And in promoting and enforcing IGR or intergovernmental relations, the sixth parliament should also take cognizance of existing forums or platforms that have been established by government to address some of this fragmentation and silos. For example, Operation Pagisa, both oceans and agriculture one. And 12.6. The sixth parliament needs to pay particular attention to the development of a long-term sector plan. Long-term is 15 to 20 years. Agriculture, forestry, and fisheries are natural resource-based sectors. They are highly impacted by climate change and other external factors. You can't plan for 5 years for agriculture, let alone forestry. Even the commercialization that is planned for 5 years is not likely to happen in 5 years, because we might be hit by a drought in the next 2 years, and then what? For I'm making an example. A long-term sector plan has also been proposed by the high-level panel. So I think it's something that the sixth parliament should consider pushing the department towards. The last sector plan of the department was in 2001, and that has never been reviewed. And NDP, the period for NDP was 2030, which is 10 years away, and we haven't achieved some of the targets for NDP that have been contained in the MTSF. And the NDP is just a framework, not a sector plan. So, and that sector plan should ensure that development, transformation, and growth of the sector are included, and also taking into account the post-2015 agenda, that is the Sustainable Development Goals, and also the African Union's Agenda 2063.
Here, I will not be becoming technical too much, because the NDP said very clear on what should happen with the sector, and it's a long-term plan. So, but it's not implemented. And agriculture, the department, they have agricultural policy framework. The question is, we should say they must review it. Because if you say after 5 years, when the constitution says we must have the election in five years, so I think we must say they must review the agricultural policy framework, including the ACEP agricultural policy plan, implementation plan. They must review it every 5 years, because the long-term policy you can have is the NDP, National Development Plan. But with sectors, the plan is there, but they need to review it. I think it will depend on who comes in, the approach and the policy. So if I think the long plan, I think we can encourage them to review it or every 5 years it should be reviewed, and the assessment should be made. So if we can say, because you will have another government who says, oh, we're not bounded by that thing that has been developed. You understand what I'm saying? So the NDP, the societal plan, covered all of everybody. But with regard to how we implement NDP, it will then depend on government by government. So I think we have to restructure, just to say there should be a review of the policy agricultural plan every 5 years to look at them, to mitigate the climate change effect and all those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trend 12.7 has already been alluded to, is the department's organizational structure, and 12.8. It puts an emphasis on the development, implementation, and review of existing policies and their relevance to the changes in the sector. The small-scale fisheries policy and the national policy on comprehensive producer development support have been mentioned in this regard. The protracted process that it takes the department to develop one policy and then implementing it. 12.9 also talks to the finalization of the comprehensive producer development support policy, because the policy is aimed at addressing fragmented technical and financial support.
I think here we should say that they both said that introduce a bill, but we must legislate this the support, the comprehensive support policy must go through. We must advance it into the legislation so that it can be able to, if you want to target all other departments, for you have to legislate it so that everybody can know its contribution into the to the sector. Because the way it is, every now and then, whether people have a choice, you have a lot of money of agriculture seated everywhere. But to get that money to do agricultural work or to contribute in the production, it's you have to go miles. But comprehensive support policy framework, we believe that is the policy that will take, it will assist in contributing towards the building of a non-racial farmer that produces efficiently and effectively for the country to have a food and food security. Must the country be secured food and have a safety food? It should be legislated because you have all these other departments that is not agriculture alone. So I'm saying we should add to say that the policy must acknowledge that they developed a policy, but it should go further. The process should go further in introducing it as a legislation. They must legalize it so that everybody can know what they are. They can be obliged to implement what is there in the legislation.
Money was not for.
Okay.
12.10. Shortage of skills in the department and critical skills. The department, when addressing or responding to the challenge of vacancies, it also reported that some of the vacancies are linked to scarcity of certain critical skills in the country. In this regard, he recommended that the Sixth Parliament must get a briefing from the department whether it is collaborating with academic institutions and other training institutions, particularly in curriculum determination, whether it is involved there or the institution are still teaching the same curriculum that they taught our fathers and some of us, which might not be relevant to the challenges that the sectors face today. The department does provide specific bursaries, but some of the bursaries, as I've seen them, are not targeted at some critical and shortage of skills in the country. I think for universities to know what skills are required by the sector, the department has to interact with the training institutions and also highlighting the distinct role that is played by the different academic institutions. We have agricultural colleges, we have universities of technology, we have TVETs, we have CITAS. They all provide different kinds of training, and most of them, they have agricultural training. But sitting here, I'm not exactly sure where those kinds of training fit into the whole spectrum when it comes to the required skills in the sector.
Can I just say, for interest sake or my for clarity, share which are these skills that we say that are just skills in this case, the ones that are not available in the department, which may not be sourced somewhere anywhere in the country. That's some clarity.
Okay.
Let's rephrase it to say that the Sixth Parliament should engage the department into looking at the how the universities and all the colleges and others are responding to the issues that affect the sector. I think it's so that it doesn't have to be said, they should just look at their contribution towards the sector as universities, what type of skills do we need. And as Nogzal is saying, even the content that goes into the curriculum, you know, the method, the teaching method that a person who's teaching agriculture should it be the same. So I think what is, maybe that's how we should phrase it then too, so that it doesn't help to, just to see how our the universities are responding towards the
needs of the sector.
Yeah, to the needs of the sector, yes.
There is not enough in the sense that we have farmers, the committee has had farmers complaining about the kind of advice that they get from extension officers, and these extension officers have degrees. I wouldn't say that the degrees that they have are not enough or are questionable. It's such that they probably have the wrong qualifications for the kind of work that they do. And also, in responding to you, Babu Papa, some of the skills that we have a shortage of are technical skills, and also fish veterinarians. I think those ones, the department has reported they have sent some personnel overseas for training on that. And if we have how many universities, two or three, and Jandel, correct me, doing training on fisheries, whether it's aquaculture or marine fisheries. If we have that capacity in universities, so it's a problem for me that the department, because universities are publicly funded, so in a way government has to influence the kind of qualifications that our universities offer. It has to be need-driven. They can't just offer degrees for the sake of offering degrees.
But that's what we're saying, Nozola. The issue is somebody in the executive must be able to see, as he says, that they're not doing that and engage them. So at this level, we can say that they must. That we need universities that responds to the skills needs of this country with regard to agricultural, fishery, and forestry sector. That here we are evaluating policies, and there is this department which must do it. So we can just say the six parliaments should engage the department and make sure that there is that the skills that are the training or the skills that are acquired in the sector are responding to the needs of the sector. That's where we can limit it to, because we are not the implementing agent. So in that meeting, you will advise them, because you will be there. You'll advise them. You know, the content that the university such and such is giving does not help us. So you'll be there. Some of us who might not be there. But you will be there as a content advisor of agriculture, fortunately.
With your mic.
Just that, Chair, in the discussion, the focus is on universities, but we must make it broader than that. We must look also at Tibet colleges. Chair, thank you. So the same applies there.
So that's what we're saying. Yes. The skills that we need in the sector, all these, you know, all these institutions that provide must respond to the needs of the sector. Full stop. And how we do that, that should be part of the engagement.
I think this point Nongola is raising, Chair, is important, but maybe it needs a way to state it that even the department must be able to make those people who are training and making skills and providing skills, that the department must make them know what exactly it means. Because in South Africa there's one very important weakness, that people who are learning have got little to do with people who are working, which is a serious problem. I think this is what the department is supposed to be making sure that it happens in the world. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Not the Melan, but it's the department who must do that. Mm-hmm. So you know, we can say that, we can limit ourselves to say that the department, the six parliaments should make sure that they engage department to make sure that skills acquired in this sector respond to the needs of the sector. So,
thanks, Chair. With your permission, Chair, may I suggest that we phrase it like this. You, ending with the words, must address the needs of the sector. I would want to take it further so that it is palatable to the public of South Africa. Say, such that it addresses the socio-economic needs of the country.
Okay.
Because the department itself is there to serve the people. In other words, the all agricultural curricula in the country should be structured. The department should make sure that all agricultural curricula in the country are structured in such a manner that they respond and address the socio-economic needs of the country. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Sabom. Agree?
Well spoken.
So point 11 is around mentorship, strategic partnerships, and implementing agents, the utilization of just different kinds of consultants by departments. Twelve is about engagement with the ministries of agriculture that it oversees, and also that of finance, to ensure that the land bank does account to the committee as much as it accounts to finance, given that it's supporting the sector and is also administering Agri-BEE fund and will also be administering the blended funding model.
The account, we just was not been calling them because of our time constraints. Because I expect Parliament has got the responsibility. They have power to call everybody. That's why you can call people about trade and industry and other people. Is that is the issue that we've raised of the committee's time, where like you call them once in 6 months to raise issues, you can't even follow up them, there's no, the house agenda is packed, you don't even have time to hold meetings. The recent one is that even the time for the meetings has been reduced from the Tuesday one, it's been reduced from 11, we started 11 and end up at 1 on Tuesday. The committee meeting starts at 11. So it's not that land bank does not account. The only thing is that in terms of them prioritizing agriculture, I think we should say that land, I think the engagement should be about making land banks to implement their developmental mandate, and government must fund that, because that is where the problem is present. They don't fund the mandate, the developmental mandate. Land bank is operating like a commercial bank. And they don't even, that's why you have a problem even when a black farmer asks money, they look at the risk of the bank itself. But if it's a developmental, those risk issue elements will be taken as part of the funds from government. So that's why it is blended farming. It's trying to resolve that, which is not enough as long as a land bank is not funded. Blended financing is a grant and a loan combined. So, but it's not enough to develop a smallholder farmer for them to be like to commercialize them as we want to. So I think that's what we should say, because accounting the account is just, it has been relocated through the, because it's under agriculture, it has collapsed. Must face the fact. There was a committee. Unfortunately, some of the former chair is now in jail, because land bank was under us, and that's when it does what it does. Went there because it went to be resuscitated and make it work again, if one can use a simple language. I think, but the only thing that land bank has engaged and they raised is that in terms of their books, loan book, it's 1% of smallholder farmers. Because most of smallholder farmers, they don't qualify, they don't have collateral, they don't have that. So it's about government to intervene at that level to make sure. Because land banks get money from capital, which their interest is controlled by them, by the market-related issues. And therefore, you don't have control of them. So, but if government deliberately fund land banks towards empowering those small producers, it can then do its work. But for now, because it went in finance, by the way, it went temporary there. It's not in terms of the when it established, when it was established, the entity was under agriculture, and this sector, under the leadership, by the way, of the chairperson of the portfolio committee, it went down. So the treasury took it to rescue. So we cannot say they are not accounted. I think we should focus more on funding the mandate for it to be, it must be able to do the job as it was established as a financial institution.
Thanks, sir. On this issue under 12.11 of apparent excessive use of outside agents, shall I club them like that, whether I call them advisors and learning agents or consultants, I would want us to make...
Can you finish this one, the land bank loan?
Oh, okay. I'll wait until you're done with that.
Then bank were done, we're agreeing that you must focus on the, that you get to do first developmental mandate, and government must fund that. Because I think in terms of their book loans, they're saying they're not funded for development. Yes, Honorable Madero.
No, I agree, Chair. as well. I know that MDM got 1 billion rand from government now recently. The two departments, the Rural Development and Land Reform and Agriculture Forest and Fisheries. So they can't complain anymore. But I'm hearing what you're saying and I agree with you.
The story is that who gives the Rural Development in the meeting says, I didn't transfer my money, I'm still holding it. So you don't want such situation. You want when government must allocate resources to land bank as an institution of government and they must account for it on the development. But they must not depend on rural development and even DG of agriculture every now and then say, I will take my money if you don't do 1, 2, 3, 4. So the development in the process will suffer. What we are saying, it must be funded as an institution and then it does its own developmental mandate without any impediment. So, Honourable Doctor.
Maybe Chair, to strengthen this point made of Councillor not to disappear, is that maybe in this process we should be made the point of made to be understood by the 6th Parliament that this accountability to the Department of to the Agriculture must not disappear, because now as time goes on people will forget that it went to finance or to treasury because of APC.
When we raise it with the Minister of Finance, I did raise it with the Minister of Finance. I mean, I don't have a problem. I said the Minister of Agriculture must bring the 6 billion that Treasury has put in that institution and it can take the bank. So the agriculture does not have that 6 billion that disappeared. So I think for us as women, we must just tighten it there. Because for me, there's nothing that stop us to make land bank to account to us. Nothing. So as long as we put funds, we appropriate funds to say this money goes to land bank to give smallholder farmers, then it's our jurisdiction. We must go there and say, including their support to commercial farmers. We must have interest if the commercial farmers, they are no longer investing in the agriculture. We must get worried. So we must continuously engage land bank. So I think we agree. So as we just, because the resolution must be able to stand the test of time. So if somebody, you know, we've got lawyers, they'll come with their hands. That legal mind, in terms of the broader constitutional mandate, Parliament can call any board to come and account. Why are you failing to call land bank? We have that. We have that mandate to interact with them. We just have not actually have enough time to call, including our entities, not land bank alone. Including our entities, we meet with them when we look at the strategic plan. We don't follow up what they do, whether they will then meet again with them when they on the annual report. And the report of the department does not include mostly the report of the entity. So it's like red bank. I think we should emphasize the issue of funding for the developmental mandate of land banks and the collaboration. I think we must talk about the collaboration of ourselves and agriculture and finance to make sure that land bank does deliver to its mandate. Let's go back to your issue that they have.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. You know, over the weekend, so many of us would have read about a worrisome report where the DDG of the department is alleged to have engaged the services of a lawyer who was paid over 27 million rand over a period of about 12 months for services which could have been rendered by the Office of the State Attorney. And now this has become a big query and story. Based on that and the fact that during the drought of 2016, it was reported that over 200 million that had been made available by the national government to KZN to counter the effects of drought. Over 200 million went missing, and it's only now that it was being investigated. Now there are many, many cases that we have had where the use of extensive entities has resulted in financial losses for the department. So based on that, I would want for us to be specific in our recommendation to say not more than a given percentage, I've got a figure of 10% of any program of the department should be spent on consultants, lawyers, and the like, including these so-called advisors. And they're experiencing the same thing when it comes to rural development. They would have so-called partners in the process of land restitution and land reform. And you were getting regular reports that a big chunk of what government makes available for land reform actually ends up in the hands of so-called advisors. And in the majority of cases, it's former owners of those farms that have been acquired by the department. And then they rope it there. I know they have got a policy of using former owners of farms to say, partner with this new black farmer. And you find that a big chunk of the budget that the department makes available ends up in the hands of the partner. And that's why I would like for us to recommend strongly that not more than 10% of the budget of any program should be made available to consultants, advisors, legal people, and the like, so that the money is actually spent within the department. And that would, as it were, strongly persuade the government personnel to make sure that the people that they employ are people who are actually capable of doing the job rather than relying on outside parties. Thanks, sir.
I think with regard to this, in the resolution, I think it's must be of the minute. We said this money is conditional grant. You cannot employ implementing agencies. Only the third party. So one of the things, I think in one of the resolution of the minute, we said that department, national department must make forensic, as they do the forensic audit of Northwest because of the Section 100, they should actually pick up with all the, because it's throughout the provinces, all the provinces agencies, and we said they must stop with immediate effect, because you cannot take conditional grants. The grants that are meant to augment your work on production, you then employ somebody to manage it. It's something that is not. But again, on the mentorship, I think one of the things that we realize is that there is a way of even running away from there is a clever way of responding to it. We don't pay for mentorship. But mentors that have been hired, they come there and bring their own equipment and charge more. And those small holders, be working for, they are not actually improved in the process. So I think in the Western Cape report was dealt with, because that it must be regulated. There must be a contractual agreement which says the mentor must do 1, 2, 3, 4. I think the report here is saying the sixth parliament must follow up on this matter, because looking at the minutes is very clear, no implementing agent on the conditional grant. If we need an implementing agent, because the conditional grant belongs to national department. It should be national department that does that and give it a framework how it should go about it. But in this case, it's provincial department who did this construction to the implementing agent. So I think what is the issue here is that this issue must not die. We're saying the Sixth Parliament must follow up how far they in terms of making sure that mentorship, they become mentors in the real sense, they assist in the develop, because we are agreeing that for us to have a growth in the sector, you need those that have got the skills to impart those skills to the imaging. But it must be done such that the imaging are growing. There is a size of growing in it, and therefore government, as they contract these mentors, and they must be able to develop they must regulate that part and see, as you are saying, maybe to say that we can only pay 5% for you to assist or something like that. That's what I think the report of Western Cape has got that, and that's why we're saying we should not lose that part. We agree, and that was the time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This Parliament should consider holding extensive consultations on genetically modified organisms, including the implementation and application of legislation that regulates GMOs in the country. Given the contentious nature and the different views that are expressed on GMOs. 14, the Sixth Parliament must be briefed on game farming as well as game and livestock auctioneering businesses, including policies and or legislation that regulate these industries. On asking around, most game farming took livestock farms were converted to game farms. And in most cases, game farms are linked to tourism. But on inquiry, people from Environmental Affairs told me that game farming, because it's farming, falls under agriculture. And unfortunately, during the Fifth Parliament, the committee never had an opportunity to ask the department about game farming. And there are so many issues with that industry, including their contribution to the economy, and notwithstanding some of the diseases that game transmits to livestock, for example, foot and mouth disease.
Yeah. Clarify the mandate, because at some point, even those that have been in this committee, I think Jaika might remember in one, when we have our strategic workshop, the then DG said it's not their mandate. When we were at we had the strategic plan, invited stakeholders and and it's environment who's telling us that is the mandate of agriculture. So I think we should actually say that we should clarify the mandate and start to it get prioritized in the work of the Sixth Parliament. Honorable Sandan.
Yes, Chairperson, in game farming there are three different farms. There are one for hunting, one where you preserve the game and then it's used for tourists, and then there's the other one where they breed it and then they sell it for very expensive to voortplant them. Where you by deal met wilde dieren. Nou, dus drie verschillende, voor die een behoort aan agriculture, the one belongs to agriculture, the one is tourism, and the other one is environmental affairs. So it's different farms, horses for courses, so it's like cross-cutting. So we need to have like a special tasking between some of these different portfolios to decide on that. It's a very lucrative business in South Africa, Chairperson.
That's why I'm saying, we should place that we should clarify the legislative or the regulatory framework on this matter and seek Parliament to prioritize the game funding as one of the issues that they must look at.
I agree with you, Chair, because what it means is that what Unozola was saying must be loaded in this point. Because when she was explaining, it was making sense more than what is on the paper.
So is something I think that the previous committee raised, but unfortunately I think wasn't dealt with during the fifth parliament regarding it. This also affects artisanal and small scale fishers and also people that are employed in the fishery sector. In terms of injury at sea, people that are employed in the fisheries vessels, for example, when they get injured or they die at sea, there is nothing like the road accident fund, for example, if I die on the road, that their families will get. So the proposal is that the sixth parliament must have engagement with the department in collaboration with the Department of Labor to look into the establishment of a fisheries sector accident fund, for lack of a better word, for people that work at sea in particular.
Chairperson, you must also remember that people that go to sea, they also use petrol and diesel, and there's a big levy on that for maintaining roads and every other thing that they are not using at that stage when they are at sea. So maybe that levy, if it can be ascertained, what the quantum is of what they use, that could be put in a special fund to ring fence for them. I would strongly support something like that. And with government help, assist in that matter to make it more safer for our fishermen to go to sea.
But why not for a zoo? Why not farm workers? Why should we identify all these? But they don't have insurance. I think we should say the sixth parliament must collaborate with the Department of Labor to look at the well-being of the sectoral workers in the sector, including the farm workers and those that are working in the forest, what it is for.
Chairperson, I agree with you that you could take a holistic approach, but I think farmers at this stage, they get a special rebate on their diesel because they use it on farms, So they don't pay those taxes on it. In the forestry industry, I don't know how that works, but I would assume that they would also have some sort of... But this is specifically because those people that are working on the boats buy the fuel to go out and fish with that vessel, and they are paying all these taxes which they don't get used for. That is why what I'm saying.
Chair, whilst the intention of the proposal is good, but my fear is that we could be categorizing IOD issues here. And I'm sure somewhere in the plethora of South African legislation, there is provision for injuries that occur. Because we're still talking about this. What about those that are processing with machines? What happens when they get injured? What about people who are working in factories generally in South Africa in any sector at all? So my recommendation is that we just put this as a recommendation without necessarily saying that it should be specific for people who are working at sea. Just consider general, because there's always a risk wherever you're working. What about people in the building industry, in the motoring industry, and so on? There's always an attendant danger, unless we know of a fund somewhere to which people who are at sea are contributing, because if we say there should be a consideration of compensation for injuries and the like, then we must simultaneously identify the source of that of that funding. And I'm afraid we will enter into specifics which will inevitably leave out so many other people. Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, again, there's a big difference between somebody working in a factory and somebody going to sea. Somebody working at sea is working for himself. He doesn't have the option of an IOD. He's not on duty working for a boss or working on a farm where you have that luxury. You have nothing. Nothing. There is no recall for you if you are injured at sea.
No, I think this one will need lot of understanding and unpacking, because if we look at the everybody who goes to work, either you are a small entrepreneur, you are a farmer, you're starting a farmer, there is risk that goes into that person. That's why in agriculture, I know there is a, in Operation Pakistan, there was discussion around the issues of having an insurance for the smallholder farmers, for them, if they had floods, if they had drought, because the department processes, you find that they will not get loans from land bank because there is no insurance that covers them and all this. That's why I'm saying let's capture for the sector and allow the Sixth Parliament to investigate further and then start to take the issues up with that understanding. Yeah. Mandela. I usually call you Mandela.
Okay, thank you,
Chair. I think in the first instance, what our content advisor was saying, resolution that we inherited as a fifth parliament, but we were not able to attend to. And she's suggesting that we must pass it on to the sixth parliament. Perhaps we could add additional wording to it, like instead of just establishing but examining the whole issue, because the whole term workman compensation does not imply to the small scale fishers.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't. Those that work on the boats, the big companies, they are covered. Those in processing factories, they are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are normal industry workers. So they indeed contribute to workman's compensation. We have employment being formalized in the farming sector, farm workers, they indeed contribute, employers contribute to workmen's compensation, etc. What you are raising now stems out the owners of farms, whether it's small, older farmers, etc. Then their produce in a drought may be destroyed, and when there's a particular disease, they may be destroyed, so their income will be completely gone. There'll be no coverage for them, except waiting and praying the government can help them out. So that insurance would cover them. So one agrees with that, but this one is slightly different, so I would appeal that we indeed allow that the Sixth Parliament indeed re-examine what possibilities are there for such vulnerable workers, but as I said, we do not need to establish anything. Every examination, in my view, would guide the Sixth Parliament in terms of what options exist there. But as far as I know, this commitment was made in actual in the very time of the former Minister Tina Jubat to the fishing community to say, no, we heard you, how many of you have died in the sea, we need to look at these kinds of things here. So I'm just saying, perhaps you mustn't completely throw this out and say thank you.
No, I'm Honorable Mandela, we're not throwing it out. We're saying, yes, because we're working on the vulnerable sector ourselves. Let's include all the sectors. So that we don't we don't become talking about one sector. I know that if you talk about the farm workers, you are referring to those ones that you see them being expelled on daily basis. Some of them, they died, they've been buried in the farm without their families, knows and all those things. There is, even these fishermen, we must, the reason, there is the law of labor cover everybody, but the problem is the implementation part of it, where individuals, the owners, or the because when you are become a fisherman, and I think maybe ourselves were supposed to have looked at that, and the officials, this official was supposed to have advised us when we were dealing with the small scale fishery implementing policy, we're supposed to have put that as one of the issues. They've left us to proceed, and then they're saying we have not implemented. They were supposed to advise us that these are important things that we are leaving out. It will fit very well there, where there is a policy for which caters for those fishermen. And that's one of the things that we should go there and be part of for that policy. So that's why I'm saying, and now I can understand what you are raising as you explain it, but the issue is that we have dealt with the issue of the fishermen. The same officials now that they have not dealt with this matter, which they were supposed to advise us when we were engaging on the small scale fishery policy. So I think I think we don't even have to wait for this parliament. We have noted it, we should actually communicate to the department as we implement this feature, because they are implementing it. We should not allow it to be implemented. They should continue to implement without taking this issue to cognizance. We should communicate to them so that we should get their feedback. I think that's one of the things that we must do. But in terms of this sector, we should actually look at the welfare of this sector, because these are the people who are producing, these are the people who are really contributing. When we say this economy is growing, is this the vulnerable groups that are working in this sector that are contributing? I mean, we should just in the resolution, they must look at the holistic for all of them. But we will then take it up with the fishery people outside the commission to check off, because we are implementing this monster fishery, how to deal and handle this issue. Thank you. table, the third part to address emerging challenges and ensure that it's raised and enforced in the industrial revolution, which is already implemented by other countries.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Unfortunately, I'll go back to where we started, about food insecurity. I've got a feeling that we have not stated the situation as emphatically and explicitly as it is there regarding the extent and depth of food insecurity in the country. I know that in 2014, State South Africa released information to the effect that people who were food insecure were in the region of 6 million. And lately, the last 3-4 months, they released other statistics telling us that food insecurity has gone over 13 million. And I think it's something worth mentioning, instead of saying it has, you know, gotten worse in relatively low language. Because we need to strengthen that strong signal to the fact that this department needs to take action on that. Even in their annual report, they acknowledge that over 8 million, according to their own findings, people are food insecure. And I feel that we have unnecessarily downplayed it in our report. And I've already spoken to the issue of overuse of service providers. Now, what I would also recommend moving on is that our report should recommend that when Parliament, since Parliament does oversight on the department, specifically there should be a line that from the department that indicates what is the socio-economic impact of their activities. Because at the end of the day, that's what we need. We're looking for as government in total, you know.
Can I amend that one to say, can we say Parliament must provide a framework for reporting by the department?
Right.
So with those, not only that issue only, because they choose what to report on because no body actually give them the framework. This is what we want you to report on.
Okay. Thank you. And then also, I thought we would have a paragraph or so, or a page or two, that says specifically, this is what we achieved as this committee. I've gone through pages 30 to 35 where we talk about reports. And on the extreme right column, we see report adopted, like oversight report. But I was looking for something that would say, as the Fifth Parliament, as this committee of the Fifth Parliament, this is what we actually achieved. And also, what's going to happen to, you know, going forward about what we have achieved. Because I think that is the actual definition of what you call legacy. What are we leaving behind? With legislation, I'm comfortable we've done that. But there are many other aspects on which, you know, we were working as a committee over the five-year term. As I say, I'm comfortable with legislation. We've been specific that that has been adopted. But just to say reports have been adopted, and then what? They've been passed by Parliament. We haven't said so. You know, if we were to be specific and say such a report has been adopted by Parliament, and this is what's going to happen. Lastly, Chair, Naswas. I would want for us to specifically recommend that Naswas be made available at agricultural colleges. SMK, for instance, has got 3 agricultural colleges. And those students feel left out. They have got to find, for instance, in Fort Cox College. They have got to find 20,000 rand in order to be admitted there. But their counterparts who are doing accounting in Fort Hare, and these are institutions which are less than 20 kilometers apart. Those students are covered by NASFAS, but agricultural students are not covered. And this looks discriminatory. And that's why I would recommend that we say NASFAS should cover agricultural students as well. Because that would also make it more attractive for young ones to go to agricultural colleges, thus helping to address the poverty situation in our country. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. On a personal note, I want to say I've really learned a lot and appreciated, you know, working with this in this committee, you know, under your chairpersonship. I really have learned a lot. And that's basically all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Especially that part in that inconsistent when we're saying
they make people pay in the Eastern Cape and not in other provinces. I found it vague somewhere, but I would like it to be clear because it's not only the mechanization. It holds a lot because I know that in that area, people have to pay 2,700 rand in for a hectare and then they get three or four bags of fertilizer. That's all. Maybe it needs of the. And another thing is that with the department, they always say this is what the farmers in the Cape want. And you never get that. Is it true? Is it what they have asked for in the department? And the last one, Chair, is what he has mentioned, I think, in the last meeting. This part of the marine resource, the future, this element of talking about whether it can be an NGG or something, General. Thank you, Chair, for the.
Remind ourselves